The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Achrei Mais Kedoshim. In Parsha Kedoshim, not too far after the beginning, Perek Yutes Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Torah states, Lo Sikalel Cheirish, you should not curse a deaf person. This means anyone. Rashi explains, why does it say a deaf person? And then there's another mitzvah mentioned, Belif Ne'evali Leisitein Mikshol, you shall not place before lifnei iver, before a blind person, you shall not place a stumbling block. Yoreisa melekecha ani Hashem, you should fear Hashem, I am your God. Tonight I'd like to dwell on the second mitzvah of that posuk. You shall not place a stumbling block before a blind person. Rashi tells us, even though the simple sense of the meaning is that you should not place a physical stumbling block in front of a physically blind person, Rashi says that the actual meaning of the pasuk, even though it would come to encompass that also, but is lifnei hasuma bedover leisitein eitzo sheina hegenes lei, before someone who is blind in a particular situation. He's not physically blind, but he's in a situation where he can, where he lacks the vision that he needs. For example, he's about to enter into a business deal, and he doesn't have the proper vision that he should have for such a deal. Then, you should not place a stumbling block in front of him. It doesn't mean a physical stumbling block, but it means an eitzah sheina hegenes lei. You shouldn't give him bad advice. Al teimar mechei sotcho v'kach lo chamor v'ato ekif olo v'nait lehimenu. For example, you shouldn't advise him. The Gemara always says that you should always try to pool your wealth in more permanent possessions. We're referring to worldly possessions. So you should sell your metaltalin, your movable possessions, to buy karka, immovable possessions. So therefore, a good advice would be, if someone has a donkey and he doesn't need it, sell the donkey and invest it in land. Here you give this person the opposite advice. So you tell him, why don't you sell your field, sell your farm, and buy donkeys. And in the meantime, you have some ulterior motive that once he sells his farm, you will go and buy it. So therefore, you're placing a stumbling block, but not a physical stumbling block, in front of a person who's blind, not in front of someone who's physically blind, but he happens to be blind in this particular situation. Then the Torah tells us, V'yareisa v'lekecho, you shall fear Hashem, ani Hashem. So Rashi says, "Nefisha adover azein amosel lebrius leida im daite shelzel leteva ilaro." This is something that is very hard for others to prove whether you had good intentions or bad intentions in giving him this advice, because you could tell him that no, in this particular instance, it was better what I told him to do. B'yochel yishomet v'leima leteva niskavanti, and therefore you can dray your eyes. You can manage to squirm out if somebody attacks you, if someone challenges you, accuses you, and you can say that really my intentions were for his good. Therefore it states you shall fear Hashem, because When it comes to other people judging you, you might be able to squirm out. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging you, he is Bechein Levavos. He looks into a person's heart, so therefore he knows exactly what the person's intentions were. And Rashi says this is a general principle that whenever it has to do with an Aveira, that people cannot accuse you of doing wrong because it's difficult to distinguish. So it states for Yereisam Elakecha Ani Hashem, you shall fear Hashem, because Hashem will be able to know, he will know what your exact intentions are. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs Leishaseh, Simen Leisharikteh, writes this also. Azor mil Rameisai umlachshiloi aval tiyashreyu al adover shetach shev shutei v'yosho. This is a prohibition excuse me, that you should not deceive someone into doing the wrong thing, into doing something which is not in his best interest, but rather you should give him advice which is yoshor, the tov, which is in the best interests of the other person. This is the simple meaning of the mitzvahs. The codifiers bring that this is something very important for people who are merchants, seicharim, because they have to deal with all this all of the time. And it's the way of the world by many that when you want to sell something, you try to induce the person to buy, whether it's good for him or not. You want to buy something, you try to induce the person to sell, whether it's good for him or not. And therefore one has to be careful with this. That we are not allowed to give another Jew bad advice and induce him into a bad deal. But tiashreyu al adomar, give him the best advice that's possible. Shetachshiv shutei v'yosho. Now all of this that we've spoken about till now refers to mili di alma, in worldly pursuits. But this mitzvah also encompasses mili di shmaya, spiritual pursuits. The Rambam brings in the same mitzvah, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, lav zeh kelel gam ken mi sheyazor al aveira. This prohibition also encompasses someone who will help another person do an aveira, or yisadev also, or induce another person, or bring another person close to an aveira. Ki yovia ishahula oven ubezrase hikshilai, because he brings the person close to the aveira. Bechozar iver v'yafateh v'azreu lahashlim aveirosai, and then he brings the person to the point where the person becomes enticed into the Aveira, and in this way he is makshul him. In this way he is placing a stumbling block before the blind. So the Rambam brings that this lifnei iver does not only apply to worldly endeavors but also to spiritual endeavors, that we are not allowed to mislead a person when it comes to mili dishmayo, when it comes to pursuits, heavenly pursuits, mitzvahs. We are not allowed to give him bad advice. We are not allowed to induce him to do an aveira, or to bring him close to an aveira, or lifatehu, to tempt him to do an Aveira, and so forth. Entice him, and so forth. And if one does, then he transgresses this negative commandment, Lifnei Ivel Esite Mikshol, which is one of the Taryag 613 mitzvahs. This is also brought in the Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis. Where is the source? The source is explicit in a number of places. The Gemara at the end of Perek Ezu Neshech, Bog Metzia Daf Ein He Omed Beis, both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, it states the Gemara is dealing there with lending and borrowing with ribis, with interest. A Jew is not allowed to lend another Jew money and charge him interest. And if he does, they both transgress the law, the negative commandment of interest. Bein hamalva v'bein haleva, the one who lends the money and the one who pays the money. And there's questions also on others involved. So the Gemara says that the Malvin Leva Avery Vishum Lichna Iver, aside from Leishasimun Neshech, the various Lavin which are written in regards to Ribbis interest, each one is also transgresses this mitzvah of Lifna Iver, because each one is helping or causing the other one to do an Avera. If it wasn't for the Leiva, the one who's borrowing the money, so the Malva wouldn't lend him with interest. And if it wasn't for the one who was lending the money, so then the Leiva, the borrower, wouldn't pay the interest. So therefore, they are both Eva Lifna Iva, V'chein HaSefer, and the Sefer also. The one who writes out, that would be the Sefer was usually the scribe, but let's say he's a lawyer, and he writes out a contract for the person. He's also Eva Lifna Iver, Upamim Gam Ha'edim Va'orav, Tesfus brings. And sometimes also the witnesses, or the Orav, the underwriters, the guarantors. It's possible for them to be Eva Lifna Iver. So what do we see here? We see like the Rambam and the Chinuch brings, that this is not only where you cause someone to go astray in worldly pursuits, but if you cause someone or you help someone to go astray in mitzvahs also, then this also is encompassed in the law of Lifnei Ivel Esite Mikshol. You should not place a stumbling block before the blind. Another proof to this, the Gemara in Aveir Zorah, and Avod, Seif Omer Aleph, Omer Rebnosen. Rebnosen said, Minayin Shela Yeshit Odom Keshul Yayin Lenozer. How do we know that if there's a Nozer, a Nazarite, he has taken a vow to become a Nozer, which means now he is not allowed for the specific time period to drink wine or to eat grapes? How do we know that you are not allowed to offer him a glass of wine? Or if he has no wine and you have, for you to give him some of your wine? As it states, Talmud Leimar, belief Ne'iva Leisite Mikshul. He brings this pasuk, this love. This is a greater chidush, this is even a greater level. Because where I help someone, or I assist someone in transgressing the commandment of ribis of interest, that's a commandment which I also cannot do at this time. But here by the Nozer, by the Nazarite, I can drink the wine. So actually, I'm not doing anything that I cannot do at this time. Still, the Gemara says that if you will assist the Nozer, then you would be able if naive leite mikshul. The Gemara explains, though, that this is speaking where you assist him to the point where he couldn't get it without you, or it would be difficult for him to get it without you. So therefore, you either make it possible for him to drink the wine, or you make it easier for him to drink the wine, or you tempt him into drinking the wine. But let's say you're sitting at a table with an ozer, and you're drinking wine, and he asks you, pass the wine, please. So there the Gemara says you won't transgress the mitzvah min ha-teira of lifnei iver, because you're not really, we couldn't say you're making it easier for him. He's sitting at the table and he can just reach over and get it himself. Or we can't really say you're assisting him. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, for another Jew, that's not allowed. But not because of lifnei iver, but because when it comes to a Jew and you see him doing an aveira, there's a mitzvah, there's a negative commandment to assist him, like we said. But there's also a mitzvah to stop him from doing aveira. See? It would be a mitzvah for me to say, no, you're not allowed to drink the wine. So certainly then I can't give him the wine. But if it's to a point where you're actually making him impossible to drink the wine, or you're inducing him to drink the wine, or you're making it much easier for him, then there would be this negative commandment of lifnei iver. The Rishayim are right there that this is not only by wine to an osir, this would be by anything that one is not allowed to do. For example, to give treifas to another Jew. We could say that the reason why Rav Nosson said wine is because of what we just mentioned, because that's a greater level, because that's something that I'm allowed to drink and you're not allowed to drink. So maybe we'll think I could give it to you. Okay. But even treifas. Treifas says there, he says, accordingly, if there's a mumet l'aveir zorah, if you have a Jew, well, he doesn't keep anything. Right? He's a Jew that he doesn't keep anything. And he eats treifas and he eats nevelas and he does everything that's osur. He might even be an idolater. He says, accordingly, we will not be able to assist him if he wants to eat treifas, because he still has a status of a Jew, and he's still chayv b'chol ha-mitzvahs, he's still obligated on all mitzvahs. And therefore, you are assisting him, or making it easier for him, to do an aveira. So Tesis says, that would be min ha-teira, lifnei iver leishitei mikshol. That min ha-teira, you would transgress this mitzvah. A further level that we see in this mitzvah is that this is even by a goy. That a Jew is also not allowed to lead astray a non-Jew in Milui D'Shamayim, in his mitzvahs. The Gemara brings in his mitzvahs. The Gemara brings in our Avodah Zarah, where we quoted just the omid before, first parak of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara brings that on the days of their holidays, what they used to, in some places they still might, that they had specific holidays where they would bring sacrifices to their gods. So on the days of their holidays, or close by, let's say 3 days before, they would come to buy animals in order to prepare them, in order to have them to sacrifice to their gods. So the Gemara goes into a whole discussion, if a Jew is allowed to sell a non-Jew an animal b'yemidehem in their holiday season. Why? What's wrong with selling? We're not allowed to serve idolatry. We're not allowed to make idolatry. But here I'm merely selling an animal. What he does is his business. Morris says, because of lifnei iver leishitei mikshol. So we see from here that the mitzvah of lifnei iver is not only that you're not allowed to lead a Jew astray from his mitzvahs, but min ha-Torah, you're also not allowed to lead a non-Jew astray from his mitzvahs. And since the non-Jew, he has only 7 mitzvahs, but one of those mitzvahs is aveirah zorah, idolatry. Therefore, you're not allowed to do something that will assist him in idolatry. That's one source. Another source, the same Gemara that we quoted, Omar Amnosin. Amnosin said, how do we know that you cannot give wine to a nozir? He also says, or eva min achai leben neyach. Ben Nayach, the non-Jew, one of his mitzvahs is that he's not allowed to eat the flesh of an animal if it was taken off of the animal while the animal was still alive. He's commanded where he must kill the animal first and then eat its flesh. And that's the law of Eiver Min Hachai. So Reb Noson says that if you have some Eiver Min Hachai, let's say that for one reason or the other, before you had a chance to shecht an animal, see, it's common in the abattoirs when the shechtim shecht, if it's not a good shechita, not all the time can you make a good shechita. Let's say the animal all of a sudden gave a move at the last instant and knocked the knife out of the shechet's hand as he was just cutting him, and he didn't make a good shechita. Or let's say they made a good shechita, but upon examination of the animal's lungs, we see that there's a whole problem. So this is a case of a nevela or a trefa. So what do we do? So in the old days, it was a big problem, such a case, because usually in the shtetla, so you had a butcher, and he would invest in a cow or a bull, ox, and he would hire the shechet to shecht it. And that was a lot of meat for the shtetla. And that brought him, that was a heavy investment, plus it brought him parnosa, who knows, maybe for a week or two, or maybe longer. And if the shechet didn't make a good shechita, it was a big, big problem, because it was the butcher's loss. What's he going to do? It was a big problem. The Rav Eichenstein Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, this was the St. Louis Rav, Chief Rav of St. Louis, he told me that he remembers, he said, by his father, who was the Rav of a city, a town in Europe, many times that his father was sitting in the study with sforim piled up to the ceiling, and the butcher was sitting in front of him saying to him, that there was a shaila on an animal, whether it was kosher or not, and they'd bring it to the Rav, and they'd bring the rea, the lungs, or something else to the Rav, and the father would look and look and look to see if possibly he could permit it. He says, for him would be piled up to the ceiling. He remembers this as a little boy, and the butcher goes, it's and says, look, till him. See, the butcher was sitting there saying, till him, it was a tragedy. Today it's no problem, because that's why in those days, they were great lomdim, and they went into every possible facet where they could permit the animal. Today we don't bother. Not only we don't bother, we don't have the time today. Today we shecht in big abattoirs, and in the abattoirs owned generally by non-Jews, and they have in these abattoirs both for kosher and non-kosher. And they want 1, 2, 3. Time is of essence. So when there's any problem, then they just give it over to the non-kosher line and finished. So give it over to the non-kosher line, and the owner will sell it on as non-kosher meat. So it's not a problem. But if the person had his own animal, and it came out to be a trefa nevela, he could give it to a goy, because a goy can eat trefa nevela. But what happened if a person had an animal, and for some reason a part of the animal was taken off of the animal before shechita? Then he's not allowed to give it to the goy, the Gemara says. See? Because that's Eivel Min Achayin. He's not allowed to have Eivel Min Achayin. If he gave it to him, he would be Eivel. If Neivel Eisitei Mikshol, if he gave it to him, he would be Eivel. He would transgress this mitzvah. There's actually an interesting Gemara in Masechta Chulin. In Masechta Chulin, I'm trying to think of where it is. Is it in Eilatreifus? I think it's in Eilatreifus. No, it's in the second parak. Masechta, the second parak. Yeah, the Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet. What? think so. It's a machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. What? Lamed Beis. Gemara machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, very interesting. He says that a Jew is not allowed to invite a non-Jew to eat with him at a meal where he's going to serve him from his meat. Where the Jew will serve the non-Jew from his meat. Why? What's the problem? It's kosher. So what's the problem? So he says, because actually when you shecht an animal, the Gemara says that it becomes kosher immediately. Once you shecht the food pipe and the windpipe, then immediately becomes kosher for Israel, because that's the mitzvah shechita. Fact is, we don't even have to shecht the entire windpipe and the entire food pipe. If you shecht the majority, is also sufficient. But actually, the animal's not dead yet. Look, it's stunned to the totally, where he's totally not aware of anything by that time. But actually, biologically, the animal's not dead yet. It only becomes dead a minute or 2 minutes afterwards, 3 minutes after all movement has stopped. I suppose this would go into the question of brain death. See? It's not dead yet. We are allowed to eat from an animal immediately after we've done the shechita. Non-Jew, though, he doesn't have the mitzvah of shechita. And the Torah said he cannot eat from an animal that's alive. Therefore, he would not be allowed to eat from the animal until it's totally biologically dead. Now, Reish Lakish says, once you sever the food pipe or the windpipe, you have basically detached the stomach and the lungs from the animal. And that animal biologically still alive. So for us it would be permissible, but for the non-Jew it would be Eva Menachai. It would be flesh that was torn off of the animal while it was still alive. So therefore we can eat it, but he cannot. Therefore Ein Mezamin Nochri Abnei Mayim. You cannot invite a goy to eat with you. This is what Reish Lakish holds. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Gemara explains why he disagrees, but this is was his opinion, and this would, because of Lifnei Ivel Eisitei Mikshol, you would be placing a stumbling block in front. You're leading someone astray from mitzvahs, the non-Jew from his mitzvahs. We find another illustration of this. The Gemara brings in the Rambam elaborates. And this also is very relevant. In Perek Yud Beis of Hilchas Retzeach Ushmiras Nefesh, Halacha Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. Today, one of the biggest industries in the world is the industry of manufacturing arms. Actually, there's a great question on this. If this is a kosher industry or not. The halacha that when it comes, firstly, if it comes to something that will be a danger to us Jews, then we're not allowed to assist in that. So we're certainly not allowed to sell arms to anyone who might use it against us Jews, because we're geirim hezek l'rabim. Because we could be causing damages to our fellow people. This goes into the parsha of Nezikim, damages. So it brings here where we cannot sell all kind of arms to non-Jews that might use it against us. Someone wants to make some money. You've got gun runners. You got a chance to make some money. You can sell 1,000 AKs to someone. That's a mazik l'rabim. He's geirim hezik l'rabim. Or you're not allowed to sell them to Jews who are gangsters because they are, you're causing hezik l'rabim. But now comes the question, what about selling arms? It's a very profitable business. It's one of the most profitable businesses in the world today. What about selling arms to some people that are going to use it who knows where? See? They'll use it far away to, for their own battles, non-Jews. What's it have to do with us? So on that, the Rambam brings that is also not allowed to because of lifnei iva leisitei mitzvah. Because lifnei iva leisitei mitzvah, because you are being machshel them in Ritzicho, in Shfichas Domin. A goy is not allowed to kill by you providing arms for him, and he's going to kill other goyim. You're leading him astray from his mitzvahs. So this is another illustration that we have. The Rambam summarizes by saying, "V'chein kol ha'mach shaliva bedover v'yisir etzo sheina hegenes shechizuk yedei avri aveiro shuiver v'nerei derech emes mitnei tayves libay." That when someone will lead someone else astray for his own greed, then he will transgress his mitzvah. According to what we said, would come out that since we see that you're not allowed to lead astray a non-Jew also from his mitzvahs, then would come out that you were not allowed also to give him bad advice in worldly pursuits, because this is the same pasuk, this is the same mitzvah. You were not allowed to deceive him, and this is true. This is what the Minchas Chinuch's opinion is. That this also would apply. To give bad advice to a non-Jew, you know, that intentionally you give him bad advice, and you can gain from it, it's done for your own intentions, so this also would be in the Aveda of Lifnei Iver. Now, actually, this mitzvah, this is the type of mitzvah that we don't hear spoken about too much. But actually it goes to quite extremes. The Gemara brings in at the end of Ezo and Eshech. The Gemara says, Omer Vira Marav, Kol mi shiyesh lo mos. If someone has money, or malveison, and he is a bal chesed, and he lends out his money, shalei be'edim, and he lends it out without witnesses, he is transgressing this mitzvah of lifnei iver. Why? Because since he lends it out without witnesses, now the other person has his money in his hands. Shimon has Reuven's money. He's in possession of it. There's no proof Reuven has that it's his own money. So he is placing Shimon in a situation of temptation where it's easy for him to deny that it's Reuven's money. Rashi says, Sha'ela aruche sholeva lichpor. That he's placing him in temptation that he might deny that it's his money, that he might deny that it belongs to Reuven. So you might be causing someone to do an aveira. And therefore, when you lend money, you must always lend it with witnesses. Reish Lakish adds another reason. Geirim klal al atzmai. Not only that, but he can also cause curses to himself. Why? Shenema te'almano sifse sheker ha'davidus al tzadik osuk. David HaMelech said in Tehillim Lamed Aleph that sometimes when you come and you will claim that a person owes you money and the other person will deny it, people will start cursing you and they'll say, look, you're trying to take money from this other person, you're trying to take money from a righteous person, therefore when you will go and you will want to collect it from the other person and he'll deny it, people will start cursing you. Now the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says, Amru Lei Rabbanu Ravashi. See, generally we would say that this is probably speaking about two people where they don't trust each other 100%. So therefore, if I don't trust the other person and I give him a large sum of money, and I'm tempting him, and he might decide to keep the money and not pay me back, because let's say he spends it and he has a hard time getting it. So I'm geirim, I cause him to do an avera. But what about two people that are very, very close to each other and they trust each other? So the Gemara brings a case. Omrei Rabbon Ravashi. The Rabbonin said to Ravashi, Komekayim Ravino Kol Mad Omer Rabbonin. Ravino was very scrupulous in fulfilling everything that the Rabbonin said. How do we know this? Sholach Le Bahari Pan Yudamali Shabbato. Because one day, Lishdali Mar Asor Zuzi, Disramli Ketina De Aro, Lumizbon. Because one day the Rabbonim sent to Ravino a message, please lend me a certain sum of money because I've just found a wonderful field up for sale and I have a chance to buy it at a good price, please lend me a certain amount of money. Sholach Lei, so he sent to him, Nese Mar Sadi, the Nicht of Kisvo. So he sent to the Rabbonin, all right, I'll give you the money, but bring witnesses and we will write a shtar, we will write a proof. Sholach Le Afilo Anon Ami. So he sent back to him and he said, I also have to do that. You won't trust me without witnesses. Sholach Le Kolshkin Mar. He says, certainly you. Even more so, I won't trust you. The Torah Bigasayo Mishtale, because you're a Talmud Chochem, and you're busy learning, and you can forget all about it. Begadim Klole Leatzmi, and then when I come and ask you, and you start to think that you ever borrowed the money, you can forget all about it. So then people are going to start talking about me. Look at, he's trying to make some money. Shalei Kedim, he's trying to make some money on the other fellow. So we see how far they went with this halacha. Actually, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch. I remember when I was a bocher in the yeshiva, we were learning Ezu Neshech. We see all the time people lend money to other people. So I went and asked one of the Rosh Yeshivas, it was Reb Chaim Stein. So he told me that generally, whenever he lends money out, he'll always ask for a post-dated check for that reason. He'll ask for a post-dated check. For that reason, he'll ask for a post-dated check for that reason. And therefore, this is something to take into cognizance, something to take into consideration, unless you're willing to forgo the loan. See, sometimes we lend people money and look, if he doesn't pay me, it's also all right. Well, that's a different story. But if you're not willing to forgo the loan, then there is the possibility that there might be a misunderstanding later on, or there might be a confusion how much or so forth or so on. Then not only must you have some type of confirmation on it for your protection. See? But you must have some type of confirmation on it, so you should not be over. You shouldn't transgress the mitzvah of Lifnei Evel Esitei Mikshol, where you can cause the other one to be Eber Gezel. See? Because there could be many times we forget exactly what was the amount, or did he pay me part, or didn't he pay me part, or whatever it might be. And it can end up, it ends up that some of my money is still by him. It's a shail of gezel. It's a shail of theft. So, my sashek. So therefore, we see how far the Chazal went, and that's what the Gemara said on Ravina, that Ravina wanted to fulfill all that Chazal said. There's even on this a curse, an order in the Torah. In Parshas Kisovei, in Dvorim Chov Zayin Yud Ches, there where the Torah is by Har Evel and Har Grizim, when we came into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that some will go on Har Evel, some will go on Har Grizim, and there will be Makabel HaShvuah. We will take an oath to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, and specific mitzvahs are mentioned there. And if they're not kept, then we held ourselves liable for, heaven forbid, for an oror, for a curse. States oror mashke iver badorach. Omar kola am amen. Cursed is the one who will lead astray a person in his way. And everyone answered amen. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he brings in his Psicho Lelavim Os Dalet, he says as follows: if a person speaks Lashon Hara, Reuven speaks badly about Shimon to Levi, Reuven speaks to Levi something badly about Shimon, so the Mesaper, the one who speaks, transgresses the prohibition of Lashon Hara, and the one who listens and accepts it transgresses. The Mesaper and the Shemea. The one who listens says, I refuse to accept it, and he walks away, that's good. But if he listens and he tells himself it might be true what the person is saying, then he also transgresses the commandments of Lashon Hara, which are many and very severe. So the Chofetz Chaim writes that aside from the fact that they transgress Lashon Hara, each one also will transgress the negative commandment of Lifnei Evel Esitei Mikshol. Why? Because if I say Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim says you can't talk to the wall, I have to have someone to talk to. If you won't listen to me, I can't talk. So your listening to me is assisting me in doing an Avera. Therefore the listener, the one who is willing to listen and willing to accept, he is being machshel, he causes the other person to do an Avera, so he's able also lifnei evel esitei mikshol. That's the listener. And the Mesaper, the one who says the Lashon Hara, he's causing the listener to be Eiver Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara is both on the one who says it and the one who accepts it. And since he accepts it, he'll be transgressed that Avera, and I'm causing him to transgress that Avera because he couldn't accept anything if I didn't tell him. So therefore, besides I being Eivor transgressing Lashon Hara, I'm also Eivor Lifnei Evel Esitei Mikshol. He says there's a difference though. He says the Shemaya, the one who hears, he'll be Eved only once. No matter what the circumstances are. When I listen to Lashon Hara, so I cause the other person, I make it possible for the other person to speak to Lashon Hara, therefore I'm Eved. I'll be Eved only once. But the Mesaper, but the one who tells the Lashon Hara, he'll be Eved, he'll transgress Kefi HaMispor Shel HaShemim, in accordance to the numbers of the number of the listeners. For example, if there's one listener, so then he has caused one person to be Eved Avera. If there are three listeners, he has caused three. If there are 10 listeners, he has caused 10. So if he says it before a whole group, the Lashon Hara, he has caused 10 people to be nichshol, to be stumbled in this mitzvah of Lashon Hara, and therefore he will be Eved 10 times. From here we can see what the journalist transgress. Because, and they try to get the widest circulation possible. They think that with the greater circulation, the better off they are. They don't realize how more successful they would be if they would be a failure when it comes to attracting a wide circulation. The journalist or the media. Another interesting illustration is in the Shulchan Aruch or Chaim, Hilchos Shabbos Simen Shin Zayin, Halacha Tes Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber there is speaking, in general he goes into discussion of reading books on Shabbos. Reading secular books on Shabbos. So he brings there the talks about reading what we would probably classify, he calls it Divrei Cheshek, we would classify it probably as pornographic literature. See, this is pornographic literature that even during the week one is not allowed to read, not only on Shabbos. The other types of books, that's just a discussion, but this, even during the week. So he brings that people that write such literature and the printers that print such literature and the merchants that sell such literature are Eved, this mitzvah of Lifnei Iver. It's even more, it's Machtes HaRabim. See, Lifnei Iver will be where you, one person you lead astray. If you're Lifnei Iver to a whole Rabim, many people you lead astray. It's already Machtes HaRabim that's Lifnei Iver at a gigantic level. He says they're Eved Lifnei Iver. Look, today the liberal constitutions of the world all endorse such conduct. See, this goes into liberty and freedom. But as far as the halachas of the Torah, if something is wrong, he's not allowed to do it. And you're not allowed to assist him to do it. And if you assist him to do it, or induce him to do it, or entice him to do it, or make it easier for him to do it, then that's Lifnei Iver Leisitei Michshol. And there the Mishnah Berurah in Hesber Halacha goes into, elaborates what's Machtes HaRabim. It states, he brings that the Gemara says Machti as Arabim is kosher, Machti as Chavere is kosher me horgu as Chavere. We said that the Lifnei Iver is in two levels, where you cause him bad, you cause bad to him in his worldly pursuits or in his spiritual pursuits. He says the spiritual pursuits is more severe than the worldly pursuits. It's worse than killing him, because if you would kill the person, so then he would lose this world but not the next world. But will you cause him to do severe chait, sins, you're taking even the next world away from him. I'd like to conclude with a chidush, something very astounding, that on this subject that the Mesillas Yeshorim writes. Sinai Shishorim writes in Shar HaChassidus, in Perek Mishkul HaChassidus, Perek Chof. It's on Daf Kuf Vav in the Eshkol print. He says as follows. He says, "Inei chayv adam lishma kol ha-mitzvus b'chol diktukeyam lefi mishiyoy v'lo yiru v'lo yavosh." He says, "This is posh. This is clear. A person is obligated. A person is obligated to guard all mitzvahs and to fulfill all mitzvahs. That is no question on. U'b'chol diktukeyam, and with all details. That is no question on. We cannot compromise. And lifnei mishiyah." And in the presence of whoever it might be, we cannot compromise. We cannot say that we'll fulfill the mitzvahs in this place, but not in that place. Wherever we are, we have to fulfill all the mitzvahs. And in whosoever presence we are, we have to fulfill all mitzvahs with all details. V'layira v'layevash. And we must not fear from any man or be ashamed. He says, this is clear. And that's what David HaMelech wrote, that David HaMelech was royalty. He was a monarch. Being a monarch, so he dealt with heads of state. You come together with heads of state, so you're called to conferences in The Hague, in London, okay, the White House, and you got to deal with all types of royalty and heads of state and so forth. So David HaMelech said, no compromises. Wherever I go and whoever I deal with, okay, even in the presence of kings, I will not compromise on my mitzvahs of Torah. It was interesting, this was a similar situation with Menachem Begin, Olav HaShalom, when he came to the White House to meet with Carter, and they made a state dinner for him. He insisted that it can only be kosher for me. You know, Friday night, he insisted that he's going to make kiddush. He put on a yarmulke. So this was David Melech, v'adabru b'edusecha negen melochim, even when I'm in the presence of kings, no compromise. See, I will fulfill your mitzvahs. And also Dabra Beidusecha means something else also. When you're together with kings and they're making all kind of deals and the enormous pressures, the political pressures, and there's already the temptation that look, we cannot do everything in accordance to the Torah. America's not interested in the Torah. And London is not interested in the Torah. Russia's not interested in the Torah. So I can't tell them. They tell me that this is what we got to do. I can't tell them. In Shulchan Aruch it says not like that. Yeah. He says no. Dabar beidusecha neged malochim. When the kings tell me to do this, I tell them no. The Rambam says not like that. See? Shulchan Aruch says not like that. Mishnah says not like that. This is what David HaMelech said. This is my type of kingship. Now, and he says, the Mesilas Yesharim says, therefore it states, Avi Ashken Omer, that to be a Jew, you have to be ferocious, like the Nomer, like the leopard, and Vura Ki'ari, and the strength of the lion. Not easy. It's not easy. Okay. Omnom, he said. He said, but there's something that you have to know. And this, unfortunately, this tragically, people are not aware of today. He says, Omnom. Tells, and later they were very aware that there's something we heard in Tells all of the time. Gam bezeh tzorech chiluk v'havchona. This requires great introspection. He says, ki kol ze nemar al gufei ha-mitzvah. Shechayovim anachnu behem chei begemura, ubehem Shebohem Yossi Ponov Kechalomish. He says all of this refers to the actual mitzvah. The actual mitzvah which cannot be compromised on. Ach yeshe eze teisfus chasidus. But in every mitzvah, there is known what is known as chasidus, as hidurim. Additional frills to the mitzvah. These hidurim, these additional frills to the mitzvah, these are not the actual mitzvah. If you fulfill them, very good. If you don't, they do not disqualify the mitzvah. The mitzvah can be done without them. See? This is what is known as chasidus, as hidurim, as chumras, and so forth. So he says, Im yase isom odom livnei ha'amena om. And many of the times, a person is in a situation where when it comes to the mili de chasidus, the extra frills, if he does them before the hamein ha'om, he does them before the simple people, the simple Jews, yishaku olav, they will laugh at him. If he starts bringing all his kumaras on the table before plain people, see, they will laugh at him. He slates it so. Then he says, you know what it is then? That's your Aveira, he says. It's an Aveira. It's not, it's their Aveira and it's your Aveira. Because Nimtzu Chaitim Venenoshim Al Yodo. Because you are causing them to do an Aveira. And the fact that they laugh at you because you're fulfilling mitzvahs, they will be punished. And you will be punished because you caused them to do that an Aveira. And he really didn't have to do all of these kumras and these hidurim in this instance. He could have just fulfilled the minimal requirements of the mitzvah. Because these chasidus were not incumbent. In this type of situation, the chasidus is not to do it. Not the chasidus is to do it. The hidur is not to do it. That's the hidur. That's the chumrah. Not to do it. To do it is a kula. Because you are causing people to be aver averus and be punished because of you. And that's lifnei iver leishitei mikshel. And that's what the Novi said, matzneu leches im elakecho. That when you walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many things you should walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicly. But there are many things that when you walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be bechadre chadorim, that should be in the inner chambers. The kama chasidim gedelim hinichu mimenhage chasidusa b'yesem bein hameina om mishum de mekseki yehora. And there were many great chasidim. Chosid was the highest level, the Gemara brings. There were many great chasidim that would not fulfill their minhogim, their own customs, when they were amongst the simple people. Because the people would think, hey, look, he wants to be different. Oh, look, he's arrogant, see. He's a Balgaiva, and he's causing them to sin, and he'll be responsible for it. So therefore, when David HaMelech said, that I will not compromise even when I'm sitting together with the monarchs, he meant he will not compromise on the Heva Buchletes, on the minimal requirements of the mitzvah. See? But to go and add fills in front of Malochim, Chas v'Sholom. See? Heaven forbid. And then, Klal Shel Dover. He says, this is the Klal. Kol Mashu Ikre B'Mitzvah. If it's the actual mitzvah, Yaseh Lifnei Kol Malik, then you must do it even before those that will scoff at you. Masha Eino Ikre B'Hu Gerim Shchek V'Hitul. But what is not the actual mitzvah, not the minimal requirements, but the additions to it. And if you do it, people will laugh and scoff. Lo yaseu. Then you shall not do it. He says, from here we see how difficult it is to be a chosid, because you have to weigh up. He says, every act, every time, it can't be the same. It's not a galim. It can't be like a robot. Every act and every mitzvah you have to weigh up in accordance to the time and the place and the people. And you have to weigh up a mitzvah, he says, not what is, what will it do now, but what will be the outgrowth from it. And we have to weigh up to see what will be the greatest Shem Shemayim. He says, why do you do a Hidur? Why do you do a Chumrah? See? The actual minimal requirements, that you have no option in. But why are you doing Chumras? Why are you doing Hidurim? He says, because you're Mesif, you add more Nachas to Hashem, you add more Kiddush Shem Shemayim to Hashem. So he says, then you have to weigh up in which case is the more Nachas to Hashem, in which case is the more Kiddush to Hashem. Where you will do the Chumras and the Hidurim, or you will cause people to be Eivar Aveira because they will laugh at you, or they will become estranged from you, or they will become estranged from Yiddishkeit. So he says, then the Hasidus is the Prisha, is the abstinence, not to do. He goes to great length in this. And he, another example of this, he brings just before on Kufay. He brings, he says, the Torah said that when you see your fellow man doing an Avera, you must rebuke him. You must try to stop him. He says, many times we find ourselves in a situation where we see a fellow Jew doing an Avera, and we're obligated to rebuke him. But we know that this is not the time to rebuke him, because he won't listen. But meanwhile, I say, but if I don't rebuke him now, so meanwhile, what will be? But we know he won't listen. See? Or, this is not the place to rebuke him. And not only that, but if I rebuke him, Gerim l'nisperit yeser b'rishon, u'lechal l'ishem l'isifal chatosim pesha. If I rebuke him, you're going to be marachik him from Torah. You're going to make him further away from Torah. You got someone and he's doing, you see, look, he does a little, but he's not doing enough. But if I'm going to start putting pressure on him to do more and tell him, look, you got to do more, you got to, this is the way you got to do it, he'll say, look, if that's the case, then don't bother me at all. I'll say, look, then I don't want to have anything to do with Mishugoyim, finished. See? But meanwhile, I got to say something. He says, in such a situation, you want to be a chosid. And you want to be a chosid, then you got to come out with a shrai. He says, the chasidus is to keep your mouth shut. Hashtiko. That's the chasidus. And this is what the Chazal said in Yevamos Samachay. Kishem shemitzvah leimer dover anishma, kach mitzvah shalei leimer eshe eina nishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to speak out when they'll listen, it's a mitzvah to keep quiet when they won't listen. See, here's the same yesod. Because, what is the purpose of rebuke? The purpose of rebuke is to give me exercise to say droshos, to hear yourself speak. The purpose of rebuke is to be mekadesh shem shemayim, to bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if your rebuke is going to chase him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is chasidus. It's an aveira. You're being lifnei evil esitei mikshol. You're leading him astray. It's a wonder we do not hear this anymore. The way of the world today, the Jewish world, just the opposite.
But I can tell you that in Tales we heard this all of the time, all of the time. And this is where it came from. It came from the Baal Mesillas Yeshorim. And the Mesillas Yeshorim knew what he was talking about. And the Vilna Gaon said, when he heard suddenly that the Mesillas Yeshorim had died, Mesillas Yeshorim lived in Italy, and the Gaon lived in Vilna, he says if he would still be alive, I would go learn by him and I would walk to Italy by foot. This is what the Gaon said. See? And he said, every word that he wrote in his Mesillas Yeshorim you must listen to. So, this is the further degree of Lifnei Iver. Now, actually, this is Mavura, there's a source for this in another place, because the Gemara brings a tefillah. A tefillah where we see how concerned we have to be with Lifnei Iver. The Gemara brings a tefillah that a person should say when he comes into the Beis HaMedrash. What's the tefillah he should say when he comes into the Beis HaMedrash? He should say, Yehi Ratzon, let it be the will of Hashem, Shele Yored Vatok Takola Al Yodai. That when I learn, and I'm learning with my Chaverim, and I say something in the Gemara, I shouldn't make a mistake. Leikoshel Bidvar Halocha. If someone asks me a psak halacha, I shouldn't make a mistake. Now, what is the worry? I would say the worry is because I'm learning the wrong shot in the Gemara. We have to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for tefillah that he should lead us in the right way when it comes to halacha, to lead us in the right way when it comes to paskin halacha, when it comes to learning Gemara. Now, why you'd say this? V'yishmuchu bi chaveirai, and then my chaverim will laugh at me. This is what you're worried about. You worry. This is the tefillah you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That please, he should teach me the right pshat in the Gemara, so I shouldn't say the wrong Gemara, and my chaverim will laugh at me. So the Mefarshim said he's worried that a mikshul shouldn't come through me. My chaverim will laugh at me, and now because of me, they were ever avera. See, that's the tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu should be shamer me. That when I say a pshat in the Gemara, or I pass in halacha, it shouldn't be wrong, and I'll cause my chaverim to laugh at me, and then I caused them to do an avera. If they evil, I see they make sure. That's what he's mispallel for. So this is, from here we learn the obligation the Torah placed on us. How careful a person has to be with other people, that he should not mislead them. Certainly when people give advice, see, many times people give advice, they come, they get advice that a person should go to one yeshiva, go to another yeshiva, should go here, and half the time, most of the time, they hardly know what they're talking about, and they're giving other people advice and whatnot. This shows how the Torah was demanding on us, how careful we have to be, that we should be miyasher, like the Rambam says, lead another person in the right way, whether it's really the alma in worldly pursuits, or really the Shemaya in spiritual pursuits.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.